Welcome back. Welcome back. That was a memoriam to Ernst Zundel. I don't speak a word of German, but this demonstrates to me the power that music has on our hearts and our minds and our souls. It's like poetry. It touches our souls and our hearts as nothing else can. And a dear friend of mine sent that to me, and it was a memoriam for Ernst. So thank you very much for sharing that. And it was very touching, despite the fact that I had... Go ahead.
I want to say, Diana, it's lovely music, and of course, very, very few of us speak German. We who speak English are very fortunate because it is the very first international language, so at least we don't have to learn another language. The Germans and the Scandinavians, the Latvians and everybody else has to learn English, you know, just as we have to learn how to use our computers. But in actual fact, a great many of the German songs of the Third Reich period were not martial at all. The Germans know them quite differently, and many of the songs are a little bit like Lily Marlene. They're songs about their girlfriend. They're songs about the nature of their country, the love of their country. They're songs about their mother, their brothers and their sisters, or their comrades. They're not aggressive. They're not martial songs at all. Now, some of the most famous ones is All We Want Is Bread and Work. Well, there's a lot of Americans who just want bread and work, and if they want to put it to song, then I'm not going to condemn them for it. So if Americans want to take to the streets and start singing in chorus for more work, more bread, more food, more justice, then I'm with them 100%. And this is what the Germans are singing in songs like that. There are actually very, very few of the song's lyrics that were martial at all. They were nearly all of peace, the longing for peace.
Right, right. Now, you mentioned that that David Irving had mentioned the failure of the Soviet Union, and within a short period of time, it did fall. And you also mentioned that you could see that the European Union was also failing, and America, and I concur, because I often consider this country as becoming a third world country, mainly because of the infrastructure. Now, most of us don't travel around the country, but I do know people who do and have traveled around the country and are familiar with the roads and the bridges and all of the infrastructure. And so it isn't just a local problem in the state that I live in, but it's nationwide that our country does seem to be falling apart. And it's because the U.S. government spends money on the military and on destruction rather than on construction. And that has been the case for quite some time, from World War I.
Yeah, war is profitable, isn't it? I think, my memory is correct, I'll only be out by 1 or 2 years, but since 1776, the year of American independence, America has not been at war for only 22 years. The rest of it, they've been in conflict with somebody. War is, in actual fact, a very, very profitable business in Britain. There are many, many millionaires, billionaires who were poverty-stricken or of very modest means before World War II. And the war generated enormous wealth, as it did in the United States. And by 1945, there were a great many more dollar millionaires in the United States than there was in 1939, purely on account of the war. And, you know, some of your senators and your congressmen, I think it was 84% of those who voted, senators, who voted in favor of America's involvement, illegal involvement in the Syrian conflict, they had shares in the arms industry. So, you know, it's a very, very profitable business, and we've got to separate politicians of your country, our country. You've got to separate politicians' purse strings from the arms industry.
Exactly. And that has always been the case. For instance, I'll use Dennis Hastert as an example. He was a gym teacher, a wrestling coach, who has recently been in the news here. And he went to Washington with good intentions, supposedly, and came back a millionaire. He was so rich that he could pay off somebody that he had sexually abused to keep quiet. And, of course, he got caught. But, yes, he came back a millionaire. Now, how do you suppose these people get so rich that a gym teacher can go to Washington for, I'm not sure how long that he was. And I hate to say how long he served, because he was serving his own interest and the interest of the corporations that paid him and the lobbyists that paid him. So he wasn't serving the constituents in the least, not a bit. So he was there for some time, but he certainly came back very, very, very wealthy. And you can say that for all of them.
Yeah, it's exactly the same in Britain as it is in the United States. And in Britain, there's only 0.7% of the British who are millionaires. Now, that is an insignificant number, 0.7%. But MPs, who are on a quite modest salary, to be honest with you, you know, they 78% of them are millionaires. So if the money isn't going to come from their salaries, and there is no way that you can live, you can add up a parliamentary salary to make you a millionaire, it's not going to happen. What interests have these so-called members of parliament got to create them as millionaires, you know, almost overnight on being elected? It is because they are passing legislation and giving so-called foreign aid to countries that they have, which is coming back into the state-owned enterprises, or rather the private enterprises that these MPs have shares in, and they're milking the system. If you wanted the epitome of money laundering, then go to the Senate, go to Congress, and go to the parliaments of Europe. These are money laundering exercises. They're crooks. It's Al Capone said, it's fraud which is legislated in favor of.
Right. There was, when you brought up Al Capone, there was another gangster that was asked, why do you rob banks? Well, that's where the money is. And you could say the same thing about senators and congressmen. Why do you run for office? Well, because that's where the money is, right?
Yeah, do you remember that cartoon? And there's a little lad who says to his dad, an American cartoon, I love your sense of humor. It's so perfect. And the little boy is saying to his dad, he's reading a newspaper, he said, I'm considering a career in organized crime. And his father says to him, government or private sector? It sums it up. There is a very good saying, isn't it? The truth is, you know, many a true word said in jest. You know, there is the other, I think it's an American cartoon, and this is the king, and he's standing on his balcony, and he's addressing the mob, and he says, remember the golden rule. And one of the mob shouts, what's the golden rule? And he says, whoever has the gold makes the rules. So lovely.
Sure. Whoever signs a check makes the rules too, yes.
Exactly. You know, America has $20 trillion in, and I've said this before, if you want to know, it's only a word, trillion, isn't it? It's like, you know, how many miles between us and the sun or Jupiter or Venus. Go on to Google. They do get this right. Go into the Google and just write those simple words. What is a trillion? Now, when you see that, sit down before you do it. It's going to catch your breath exactly what a trillion is, and then consider that your government, you know, owes 20 trillion of those. I don't know who they may owe it to, you know, but it will take your breath away. What is a trillion? But there you go.
And it is amazing how the politicians say what a good job they've done. They pat each other on the back. What a good job they've done when things have gotten so much worse during their administration. I don't know how they can claim to have done a good job. And yet there are people that say, oh, yes, Obama did a great job. Oh, Clinton, they did a great job. When you can look at the numbers, it's the numbers of people who are unemployed, the numbers of people who are, of course, they don't publish these things. They don't show these things. And on TV, which is totally to program the mind, nobody ever lives in a regular house. Everybody lives in a wonderful house. So you have this total concept that America is well off when in fact it isn't, and people are living under bridges and in their cars. We're talking about people who had positions who were living in their cars because of economics. Most people are one paycheck away from being homeless.
Yeah, it's a myth that America is, you know, it's an age-old myth that America is a wealthy country, or the Americans are wealthy people. In actual fact, 51 countries around the world, and there aren't that many of them, let's face it, have got more doctors per thousand population than has America. There's 79 countries have got more hospital beds per thousand than the United States. 39 countries, you will live longer than the average American will. 12 countries have a more than average monthly disposable income after tax than the Americans do. And the list is endless. But America, in actual fact, has very rapidly become a third world country because its riches are being siphoned off by the arms industries in Israel. And these two between them are bankrupting you all.
Indeed. I mentioned earlier that there was a letter that Henry Clay wrote, and it was actually dated July, or he got a letter that was dated July 15th, 1832. And it stated in part, and I quote, and this letter was from Solomon Etting, and he said, quote, "Several of the religious society to which I belong, myself included, feel both surprised and hurt by the manner in which you introduced the expression, the Jew, on debate in the Senate of the United States, evidently applying it as a reproachful designation of a man whom you consider obnoxious in character and conduct. I do not know the person you allude to. The term, the Jew, as used by you, is considered illiberal or intolerant. If, therefore, you have no antipathy or opposition to the people of that religious society, I can readily believe that you will have no objection to," and this is the part that really irks me, "to explain to me by letter what induced the expression," unquote. In other words, you owe me an apology, and you better write me a letter and tell me what you think you're doing by using the term the Jew in Congress. And this was in 1832. And so this was one of the applications that was used in Congress. And Congress, we're talking about both the House and the Senate, have been under the influence of the tribe, well, probably since 1832.
Yeah, you've been monopolized the same as Imperial Russia was in the Weimar Republic. You know, let's face it, it wasn't the Germans. There might have been a few Germans in the Reichstag, and there were only a handful of Russians in Moscow's regime during the Bolshevik terror right the way through. There were Jews, and I'm very sorry to say that in the United States, if the person, the senator or congressman, is not ethnically Jewish, I'll guarantee you that his power base and his financial base is almost certainly linked to Jewish interests, and he doesn't bite the hand that feeds him.
Right. And if they don't like a person, they will get rid of them. Like Paul Finley here in Illinois. They didn't like his politics because he was saying, why are we doing this to Palestine? What did the Palestinians do? And he was out very quickly. And the person that took his place is still in that place and is still very dedicated to the Israeli state.
Yeah, the characters are assassinated, Deanna. We had a George Brown. He was Secretary of State in Britain. He was so powerful that had, at the time, Harold Wilson passed away, then George Brown would have been the Prime Minister. So he was a lot more than just an MP. He was a government minister, and he was a foreign minister. But he was of the old breed of Labour politician, and he had a bit of a mouth on him. And on one occasion, he was very, very popular, by the way. Everybody loved George Brown, a very, very popular minister of the Crown. But during a trip to occupied Palestine, he criticized the Israeli behavior towards the Palestinian people, and that was his career finished. It was gone. Almost overnight, the orchestrated press totally assassinated his character, and his position very, very quickly became untenable, and he lost his office, and very soon afterwards he died. They did the same to Enoch Powell. They can make and break you, and quite a few American presidents, three or four, have said, and I think it was Roosevelt who said, that American presidents are not elected, they're selected, and this is absolutely true.
Well, that is also what the protocols of the Lurid Elders of Zion say, that we will select the presidents. And, of course, one president that they did not select, they assassinated very publicly in Dealey Square, and that was such a public execution that I think that every president that followed him certainly gain something and learn something from that experience.
And Nixon hated the Jews. You know, there are many, many comments which Nixon made about the Jews.
And he was out, too. He was out, too. Alrighty, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting Truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and we're on with Michael Walsh. He is an author. His website is europeansworldwide.wordpress.com, and I have a link on the schedule page, which you can access by going to spingola.com and just click radio schedule on the left, and you can find his link, the link to his books. And there are a lot of them, and he just keeps writing and writing and writing. It's amazing. Terrific.
Yeah, hundreds of articles, too. We were talking a little bit, and one of the mysteries about the, not just the American presidents, but the British as well, is off the record, if you were talking with them, you know, over a dinner date or anything of that nature, they can be remarkably candid. And yet they're the opposite once they get into power for obvious reasons. And we were just mentioned Richard Nixon. Imagine one of us, we say it, but we're denounced for saying so. But Richard Nixon says, the Jews are just as a very aggressive and abrasive and obnoxious personalities. They put the Jewish interest above America's interest. And it's about goddamn time that the Jew in America realizes he's an American first and a Jew second. That was on the Richard Nixon tape since 1973. You know what happened to Richard Nixon. And he refused to go to one particular hospital. It's a famous American hospital. You'll probably know the name of it. I can't recall it. But when he was ill, he said, there is no way that I'm going to go to that hospital. Beg pardon?
Bethesda?
Yeah, it was one of those. I think it was Bethesda. That rings a bell, a big, very big bell. But he said, there is no way that I'm going to go into that hospital because he says, I know I won't come out alive. You know, it's a terrible country when you have an American elected president who refuses to go to a certain hospital, you know, because he knows that he won't come out alive. You know, that's a pretty stinking state, isn't it? Eh?
Indeed. Well, a lot of
they were all the same. Sorry?
A lot of people don't come out of the American hospitals alive. At least 880,000 people a year die from interaction with allopathic medicine here in this country, which is just another way of depopulating the country.
Yeah, absolutely. You live in a Bolshevik country. We call them the globalists now, but there is absolutely nothing that separates globalists from Bolsheviks. You know, we Bolshevism or Bolsheviks over a period of time became a negative expression. The communists did. That became a negative expression. So, like the chameleon, they just changed their name. So now they're called globalists. But I defy anybody in public or otherwise to separate, tell me the difference between the globalists, their aims, and the Bolsheviks and their aims. There isn't a difference. It's arose by any other name. In this particular case, it stinks the same.
Sure. Now, I know that you have written a lot of poetry, and I'm not going to let you get away on this broadcast without sharing some of your poems. So could you just, I hope I'm not putting you on the spot,
You have ambushed me. You have ambushed me, but I do because I anticipated you. I did one on my screen. So it'll appeal to anybody. I think most people have got a mother, haven't they? I would have thought so.
Sure.
Has anybody out there not got a mother, dead or alive? Of course you have. We couldn't be here otherwise. I'm one of the very, very few people, would you believe, who can say, hand on heart, that my mother was a nun. Yes. How many people can say their mother was a nun? My mother was a nun when she was a young lady, and then she got radicalized.
Wow.
So it's an amusing family piece that my mother was a nun. The poem today is called Mother's Love. Okay, and here we go. Pin your ears back and get your Kleenex out. What words can bring her comfort? What sentiment might act? Perhaps if I could tell her, my eloquence has lacked. Such thoughtful words of solace that takes away her frown. How I wish to tell her words as soft as gosling's down. What words will lift the spirits of a heart that gentle bleeds? From wounds that only mothers know, I search words that lead to lips that curl and eyes that light. Hope springs in her breast. It's hard to come to mothers when the hearts are so stressed. Thank you.
All righty. We'll go to a break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong part. And the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today for the first 2 hours is Michael Walsh. His website is your.com. I think that the reason your books are so concise and to the point has something to do with the fact that you're also a poet, because you have learned to express yourself in few words. That's what poetry is, to express great emotion with few words.
Yeah, I talk heart to heart, and if we've got time, I have dedicated a poem to Ernst Zundel, which I think he would appreciate, because we got on very well, and we were corresponding until the days before his death, and I dedicated this poem to Ernst. And it's called "It's Nice to Be the Victor." Excuse me. It's nice to be the victor of war that you have made. For you there's rape and plunder, and there's bodies to be laid. For best of all, upon the fall of enemies you've slain, you get to write their history whilst truth goes down the drain. It's fun to be the victor when the odds are 3-1. Disarmed, your foes can take the blows when final war is won. But better than the plunder, the chance of lies to tell, to point the finger at your foe and then ring the victim's bell. It's fun to be the victor of a nation once so proud, and then strut among the rubble to pull the funeral shroud. And you may pen its epitaph, a chance for only you. Yes, you will write just as you wish. It's what the victors do. To prance amidst the rubble, yet claim it is your loss. To stand and strut your purity, and say it all because I am the sweet and innocent. It's what the victors write. No glory, shame, or justice when the light of truth goes out. Rest in peace, Ernst Zundel.
That was really good.
Thank you.
That was very nice. Yes.
Very true.
Rest in peace, Ernst. Ah, what a blessing he was.
And, he was indeed, and he picked up the baton as a 19-year-old, a 20-year-old, and I do say this, I know it's perhaps a topic for another subject, or perhaps not your cup of tea, but I don't think that we pass away in a mortal sense, but we're rather like getting out of an old car, a much-loved car, which is clapped out. And we get out of the car and we go to a higher place, and the car goes to the scrapyard, just as we go to the crematorium. But his soul is there. I don't believe in the word die. I don't think he has died. And the other thing is, and this is very, very important, it's an old Irish saying that as long as people are talking about you, you haven't died. And we're probably talking more about Ernst today than we did before he passed away.
Well, that is what I loved about one of your last emails, your latest, I shouldn't say last, your latest email, is that you said that, that as long as we keep talking about somebody, they have not died. And that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, he dropped the baton. As you said earlier on in the program today, that we're all going to drop the baton someday. But they can't kill, Ernst can't die, I can't die, you can't die, because long after we are kicking up the daisies, the people will still be inspired by your broadcast, they'll be inspired by the books that you promote. So these people are picking up the baton that we drop, and this is very important. It has to be remembered that, yes, my books are very, very popular. I'm very pleased about that because I like to communicate with people. But I was inspired, and much of what I learned was from people who passed away many, many years ago, probably in the 40s and the 50s, and of course Adolf Hitler, who lost his life in May 1945. So, no, we don't die in a sense. Physically, we're not there to, you know, I very much miss, I had the opportunity, I'm a great lover of classical music, and I think, well, you know, I was alive, I could have gone to see Maria Callas and had to get up and go, I could have gone to see Herbert Montcarrion, I didn't. So physically, we are denied the possibility of actually physically seeing these people, but they still live on. Maria Callas is still charming us. Ernst Montcarrion, the greatest orchestral conductor ever, he is still inspiring me. You, Deanna, will continue to inspire people long after you and I are batting a glass of wine on the other side.
Indeed. Which is also applicable to Adolf Hitler, because even today, I think Hollywood is still making movies demonizing this man. They will not let their lie die. And it must be for a very good reason. So you can apply it to both sides of the coin. That, yes, we remember people who inspire us, but that the other people who have to maintain the lie continue to do so. And it's very interesting that it works both ways.
Yeah, I think the degree of suppression now is that they are fearful. Remember mm-hmm. that they control the media, so they have a vested interest in creating the impression that absolutely everything is all right, and the regimes under which we suffer are burdened with, that they are rock solid for another 1,000 years. Well, of course, it was saying the same in Poland and Lithuania and Hungary and Romania in the mid-1980s, and a few months later, they were all gone. So believe me that the power of Adolf Hitler is probably much more widespread now than it ever was, even when he was alive. And I remember not so long ago that an international independent poll was published, which the question was, who would you like to see most back on Earth if you could do it? And not only was the person who was chosen by people all around the world Adolf Hitler, the second place went to Jesus Christ, but he was a long, long way behind Adolf Hitler. And I believe that Mein Kampf is second only to the Holy Bible in terms of being downloaded and read. So the man is not dying, is he? He's very much alive, and this is what is frightening them.
Indeed. He's more alive now than before. And
it really
does indicate and demonstrate how the people who own the cover story can maintain it over generations of time. And so we know who's running the cover story.
Yeah, it's falling apart, though. As Julian Assange said, the internet is burning the mainstream media to the ground, And the Daily Mail, I think it's published in the United States as well. It's a cheap tabloid, you know, that is published in Britain. It's owned by a Jew. Does that surprise you?
No.
And, you know, almost on a day, you know, they're searching for what we call the Hitler cliques. They're doing these ridiculous stories because you've only got to show a swastika or a moustache under the nose, you know, and everybody
sure.
clicks on because of the fascination for the man. But what I find very, very interesting is not the story itself. That can be dismissed. This is just propaganda. It's a load of rubbish. But what I do find very, very interesting, Deanna, is that when you go down the reader's comments, how many of them are waking up and waking up fast, despite the comments being edited. There's so many now who reject the victor's propaganda that this is becoming a problem, and it's a kleptic problem.
Sure.
All the mainstream media, because they do like to generate public response in the letters to the editor. These are very, very powerful. Probably as many people turn to the page, letters to the editor, as they do to the sport or the news from pages. It's very, very popular. And they're having great difficulty because they're getting so many letters from people who are opposite to editorial policy. So the media is as out of touch with public feeling as are the politicians. They're in a cloud cuckoo land. They're in an ivory tower. They're as much out of touch in the West, in the United States, in Britain and Germany and France, they're as totally out of touch as they were in communist-occupied Poland. You know, Macron, Emmanuel Macron, who's been voted president in France. You know, the newspapers and the television, they would say that he had a landslide. He didn't. For every French person who voted for Macron, there's four people who didn't vote for him. So where is the popularity? But they're creating myths. It's not just we were talking about the so-called Holocaust, but the media is in the business of creating myths. And we really need to turn away from them. And more people listening to your show and people like yourself, you're brave people. You're all dissidents. Ernst was a dissident. You are a dissident. I am a dissident. And I'm darn well proud of it.
As am I. I think that that's... I don't know how else I could be. Because once you learn something, you have an obligation to share it. And once you learn something... I think you can't keep from sharing it. And that's why we all do this, is because we want to warn others, to alert others, and that's our responsibility.
Yeah, there is the revenge factor as well. One of the sentiments that I say, especially on social media, that there's so many people, and bless them, you know, we've all been there, is they have been totally hoodwinked. They believe that everything that they've been told is true, and they've been deceived, of course, about the democratic process, so-called. They've been deceived about the Holocaust. They've been deceived about the Third Reich. And, Deanna, they are flaming mad. And the only way that they can get revenge is to tell the truth. And this is what more and more people are doing. And the reason for the suppression, especially in Europe today, is that they're built, the houses of the political elite are built on sand. And I say, if I wanted an analogy to explain the situation, the political elite are in a castle, and the walls and the moat are the press and the police. Now, you take away the press and the police, and there's going to be a breaking of the ranks, and the political elite will come crumbling as fast as they did in the Soviet bloc in the late 1980s. And the West will go the same way. It's time we prepared for it.
Indeed. And people really do not like to be fooled. People do not like to be made a fool of. And when they find out that they have been lied to, well, there's going to be... there's going to be hell to pay, literally.
Yeah, it didn't happen to me, Deanna. You know, you just awakened me, and a thought that occurred to me now and again. When you steadfastly believed in the Holocaust for 30 or 40 years, you've been passionately anti-Hitler's Germany, you've been passionately defending the Jews, and publicising the Holocaust. And then all of a sudden, it dawns on you, and it's easily done these days, thanks to the internet, you realise that you have been deceived throughout your life. I wonder how these people feel. I would love to know how these people feel. Maybe we should have a programme and invite them on and say, you know, you've been fooled, you've been deceived for 30, 40, 50, 5 years. What are your feelings about it?
I think that that is also applicable to people who have belonged to cult religions, because I think that if you look at the Holocaust narrative, I think that it is a cult because they have used the same kinds of tactics, the brainwashing tactics, to encourage people to believe something that is not true. And when you look at the evidence, or lack thereof, and when you look and see when they announced what, in May of 1945, that 6 million people had died, or 6 million Jews had been murdered. Well, my goodness, the end of the war, and within a week, that's their announcement. But that is the trick. The people who are into cults or into cult building or into brainwashing, the first thing they do is that they produce information first. They're the first out there with information. And people typically believe the first things that they hear. And the backstory is always, or when they take that story back, it's always on the back page in a little tiny paragraph. But they've never taken it back. This is their story. They maintain that story. But how would they know when all of Europe is torn up? How would they know how many people died or were murdered, supposedly murdered within a week? Critical thinking.
Yeah, there's no critical thinking. You know, somebody pointed out, if you add up the 6 million and stick it on paper, it's a physical impossibility, but nobody gets a piece of paper and the pencil stub out. And it was your wonderful, much-admired Mark Twain, who has inspired me throughout my life, who said quite correctly, it is far easier to fool people than to convince them that they have been fools.
Oh, how true.
It's easier to fool people than to convince them that they've been fooled. And this is what we're up against, I'm afraid. People would prefer to believe the lies than the truth, because they're more comfortable with the lies. And, of course, it was the Jews who invented the big lie. And, you know, this was blamed on Adolf Hitler, but, of course, he never said any such thing. He blamed the Jews quite correctly. And whether we're talking about 9/11, the Iraq War, and all the rest of it, it is the Jews who are practicing the big lie about 9/11, the big lie about Kennedy's assassination, the big lie about the invasions of Libya and Iraq.
Afghanistan, Syria,
Germany. Hitler went on to a higher realm quite a long time ago. So they can't blame Hitler for the big lie that was 9/11, for President Kennedy's assassination, or for the invasions of Libya, Afghanistan, or Iraq. These are big lies, and they can't blame those on the Fuhrer.
And when he was referring to that, he was not talking about, they really did not practice any propaganda. They really didn't do that in Germany. And when he referred to the big lie, which is always taken out of context, he is talking about the Jews doing it. Okay, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Kelormax's Nutramedical Heavy Metal Detox formula includes DMSA, dimercaptosuccinic acid, EDTA, ethylene diamine tetraacetic acid, cilantro, chlorella, garlic, in a special form that researchers have benefited from removing heavy metals, N-acetylcysteine, and alpha-lipoic acid. This oral formula is the best oral formula available in the world for removing heavy metals safely from the body. It also has a special Shilajit addition of trace elements from the Himalayan mountains and humic fulvic acid to replace trace minerals drawn out by the Killer Max. Killer Max is the best oral chelation agent available in the world, and you can obtain it at Nutri, N-U-T-R-I, medical.com, 888-212-8871. That's Nutri, N-U-T-R-I, medical.com, or 888-212-8871.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest for the first 2 hours has been the one and only Michael Walsh. His website is europeansworldwide.wordpress.com. The other thing, too, about brainwashing is if you have the political power that they have, that they obviously have, they also have the power to introduce their dogma, which and its religious dogma, into the elementary school system, which they have done. And when you teach a child early, that child is going to believe what he is told, probably indefinitely, which is very sad.
Yeah, you tell a kid that two and two is five, and he's going to be repeating that parrot fashion for the rest of his life because he was taught. So many people have got to be awoken up to the reality. But if we can do it, if it can, you know, I'm a pretty ordinary person. You know, my father was in the Royal Air Force. He was a serviceman, so was I, incidentally. And my mother, as I say, was not. But if people like you and me and so many of our friends around the world could wake up, then it's about time that the other 1 billion woke up. And they are. So things are moving our way pretty fast.
You're not ordinary. You're extraordinary.
Well, thank you very much.
And we're just so grateful to have you. And would you be so kind as to share another poem with us?
Yes, I'm sure I can bring one up here. Poetry ideas and good night all as we pass. Now I know it's not the midnight hour for you yet, but it is for me, because here we're just coming up to midnight. It is 23:56 here. So, as we pass the midnight hour, Now we pass the midnight hour, we think in fits and starts. So let us spare a moment for those friends with broken hearts. Slumber may bring some respite, as dreaming they will pass their night. For somewhere there's a friendly soul, he fixes hearts and he makes them whole. I croon a lullaby of sorts, to friends I drink and pass the thought, that you will wake beyond the dawn, with heart that's fixed to greet the morn.
Wow. That is beautiful. And
thank you.
I think that is so, that would touch a lot of people. A lot of people. There's a lot of people who have broken hearts and sadness for a number of reasons. So that was very touching.
Thank you. Your nation has produced some of the great writers of history, and it's a great literary nation, and I'll be glad when the ordinary people are back in the control of their own affairs in the United States, as they should be. The entire world would be a far, far safer place if the ordinary people were in control.
Yes, indeed. Well, thank you so very much for sharing 2 hours with us. And especially in as much as it's so late over there. So thank you so much.
Pleasure and a pleasure, Deanna. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Best wishes. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty, stay with us, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
For you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting 2 people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.